You know, trials and heartaches will come in this life. God never promised us a bed of roses. Never promised us that everything be well. But aren't you glad when you can stand firm on God? And the devil might try to rob you from a lot of different things, but he can't rob you of your song. I'm thankful for that. I think God wants to raise up people that, I tell you, just stand in the face of the devil and say, "Devil, you're just not going to rob me. That's all there is to it. I'm not going to let my song be robbed. I'm still going to worship. I'm still going to praise. I'm still going to honor Jesus. And no matter what happens all around me and what the devil does, all I know is that God saved me. I'm going to serve Him. One day I'm going to get to heaven, and I'll rejoice on the way of getting there." Well, I tell you, God's looking for folks like that this morning. Take your Bibles. Let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 42 this morning. Genesis chapter 42. I must admit to you that I had another sermon prepared for this one. And over the last couple of days, I've been working on this one instead. I think this is where God wants us to go, and I may come back to these same verses again the next time, but we're going to do something just a little bit different this morning by the help of the Lord. Genesis chapter 42 this morning. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1, and we'll only read the first 8 verses of the chapter. So we'd ask you one time to stand this morning. Let's honor God's Word this morning. Aren't you glad you've got God's Word? The Bible says it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We don't know where we're going unless we have God's Word. The Bible says, "Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, why do you look upon one another?" Boy, that's a good question right there. If you know where the blessing's at, why do you sit around looking somewhere else? Glory to God. If you know that your hope is in Christ, and know why are you looking anywhere else for? If you know salvation is in any other name but Jesus, why would you look anywhere else for? And he said, "Behold, I have heard there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence that we may live and not die." And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. He'd already lost one son, his youngest one at the time. He didn't want to lose another one. And the sons of Israel, the other 10 boys, came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and it was And he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Remember what that first dream Joseph dreamed and told his brothers? He said, "I dreamed a dream that some sheaves bowed down to me." And by the way, those sheaves are you. Here it was now over 20 years later. And Joseph's brethren coming unto him, bowing down before him. Boy, God will uphold His Word every time. You may think, "Well, God's just forgot about me. God's just left me. God's just..." Hey, let me tell you something. It may take time. It's all on God's time. But I promise you, God will always fulfill His Word. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, and made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, "Whence come ye?" And they said, "From the land of Canaan to buy food." And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your Word today. Thank you, God, for the singing, Lord. I thank you for, Father, the opportunity we've had to be in Sunday school this morning. God, to hear your Word taught to us. And Lord, I thank you for these fine men and women, Lord, that teach every week. And God, I pray you continue to bless them, Lord, in their efforts, Father. I pray that you'd grow our Sunday school hour, Lord. And Father, that more people can be taught the Word of God, Lord, be rooted and grounded in Jesus. God, I pray now, Father, that as we take just a moment to preach, Lord, that you'd give us unction of the Holy Ghost today. God, I need an anointing, God, if I'm going to preach. Lord, this is where you've led us to. I know, Father, beyond a shadow of a doubt. Now, Lord, I need you to preach today. God, I pray for someone here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. I pray, God, you'd convict their hearts, Lord. And God, that in your love and mercy and grace, you'd draw them, Lord, to this old-fashioned altar, God, where they can come and find forgiveness, Lord, of their sins. Where they can come, Lord, and be saved and know that their names have been written in the book of life and they're on their way to heaven. God, I pray, let that be. And God, as your children, I pray, encourage us today, Father. I believe that's where you're taking us to. And we'll praise you and honor you in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. you pray for us this morning as we take a little different route in this scripture today. And I pray you'll pay attention, focus on the Word of God. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the Bible tells us that there's a season and a time for every purpose under the heaven, including a time to be born and a time to die. However, more importantly than either one of those times is what occurs in the meantime. And you think about that because, frankly, life is what happens in the meantime. And folks, life is not always pleasant. God has made clear in His Word that we're going to face many obstacles. We're going to face trials. We're going to face heartaches. And at times, we can be wounded. But if you'll just let me be real simple this morning, I'm going to be as simple as I can be in an analogy, and I hope you'll let me this morning. But God works many times in our lives just the same way that Neosporin works on a wound. You think about that. Your kid gets a little scratch on his finger. You put that Neosporin on there, wrap that thing up in a Band-Aid. A week later, you go and you take that Band-Aid off and you look, and there's not even any evidence that there's a scratch there. And that's exactly sometimes how God works things out in our lives. We go through heartaches, we go through trials, we go through turmoil, we go through all kinds of problems and things in life, and they wound us many times. But God brings some salve and some balm by every now and then, and He covers over that wound. And after just a little while, by the time God gets done, you can't even see that there was evidence that there was ever a wound there in the first place. Folks, do you realize this morning that the Bible says, by His stripes we are healed. We're healed this morning, praise God. He not only can heal you of physical disease, He not only can heal you from spiritual sin, but folks, He can heal you from the wounds of life this morning. And I'm glad. He can do so without leaving any scars. He can do so without leaving any evidence that you were ever wounded or that you were ever down and out or that you were ever sick in the first place. God can do that this morning. There was a story that I read of Chippy the parakeet. And Chippy the parakeet, frankly, just never saw it coming. But one second he was peacefully perched in his cage, swinging along on that little thing, just singing and having a good time. And the next he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. And the problem began when Chippy's owner decided to clean out Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. That's always a good way to clean a bird cage, isn't it? She removed the attachment from the end of the hose and stuck it in the cage. And she's going at it. Right about then, the phone rang, and she turned to pick it up, leaving the suction hose there. And when she picked it up, she heard it. It went, and Chippy got sucked in. Well, she went, oh, and she got and grabbed the bird, put the phone down, turned the vacuum off, opened up the bag, and there was Chippy. Still alive, but stunned. Well, since the bird was, at that point in time, covered with dust and soot, she thought, well, I need to clean the bird up. So she grabbed him and raced to the bathroom and turned on the faucet and held Chippy under the running water while she washed him real good. And then realizing that Chippy, after he got washed, he was sitting there and he was soaking wet and shivering, she thought, I wonder what I can do. So she did what any other compassionate bird owner would do. She reached over, got the hair dryer, and stuck it to Chippy and blasted him with a force of hot air. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him. A few days after the trauma, a reporter who had heard of the event contacted Chippy's owner to see how the bird was recovering. Here's what Chippy's owner said. Said, well, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares. You know, poor old Chippy. But I wonder, to be honest, though, how many of us this morning, we've got sucked into all kinds of the problems of this world. And it seems like the storms of life have just blown us over. And you know what? We've allowed that to bring us down to the point to where we don't want to sing anymore. We don't want to testify anymore. We don't have nothing in us to worship anymore. We've allowed it to weigh us down. We've allowed it to destroy our testimony. We've allowed it to rob us of the joy that we had walking with God. And we've allowed all those things happen. But you know what? I believe that God can take you and I to a place this morning to where we don't look like what we've been through. I'm going to say that again so you get it real good. I think God can bring us to a place this morning where by the time He gets done with us, we don't look like what we've been through. And Brother Jeff, that's what I want to preach on this morning, a little message entitled, I Don't Look Like What I've Been Through. I don't look like what I've been through. Boy, I'm glad today God saved me and He brought me out of the trash in this world and I don't look like what I've been through. I've been through some mess in this life. I've been through some hard times. I know what it's like to struggle. I know what it's like to have nothing. I know what it's like to be left out in the cold. I know what it's like for your family to give up on you. I know what it's like to have nothing and be out on the streets. I know what it's like to be strung out on drugs and dope and alcohol. I know what it's like to lose your wife. I know what it's like for your kids to be gone. I know what it's like to be broke with no money. I know what it's like not to have a job. I know what it's like to be told you to leave and you don't have it anymore. I know what those things are like. But can I tell you, thanks be to God, I am what I am by the grace of God this morning, and I don't look like what I've been through anymore. Hallelujah. I'm looking for somebody here this morning that can stand up and say, preacher, I've been through a lot, but I don't look like what I've been through. Glory to God. The world has been hard on me, but Jesus was better to me, and I don't look like what I've been through anymore. Hallelujah. Some of us come out of the first church of the Frigidaire, I believe, didn't we? God got so cold on God that we feel like we go to the freezer every time we go to church. Folks, I'm telling you right now, I don't look like what I went through, brother. And I've been through some things. Let me tell you something else. Let me tell you the most important thing this morning. Joseph didn't look like what he'd been through. I hope you follow me this morning. Joseph didn't look like what he'd been through. And let me tell you why he didn't look like what he'd been through. Because he had God's provision. He had God's provision. The Bible said in Genesis 41, the last verse of the chapter, it said the famine was so sore in all the land. But now all the folks are coming from Canaan and they're coming up to Joseph and they're expecting to find all these folks going through famine just like they are. Maybe they're expecting to find some men that are real lean at this point in time. Maybe they're expecting to find somebody that's having it tough. Maybe they're expecting to find somebody who ain't got it all together. But by the time that the 10 brothers got there, they found a man by the name of Joseph that wasn't struggling to get by. They went and found a man by the name of Joseph who wasn't staring back at the past. He just went through. When they found Joseph, they found a man that had been lifted up by God. They found a man who was serving him, and they found a man who was being blessed by him. And Joseph didn't look like the things he'd been through. Hallelujah. Don't you want to be somebody who don't look like what you've been through? We get so drug out, man, we look like we've been taken to the cleaners and got beat up in the way. But folks, I want to look like somebody's been blessed. I want to act like somebody that's being blessed. I want the world to know that I'm blessed this morning. I'm not sitting around worrying about the world. The world is going to beat up on us. We know that already. But I'm glad I don't have to look like the world this morning. The Bible said Joseph had God's provision. I'm reminded of a fella in the book of Daniel. And by the way, his name was Daniel. In Daniel chapter 1, the Bible says Daniel was taken captive to Babylon. Young boy, teenager, got taken into captive by the Babylonian army. They took him out of his homeland, took him to Babylon. And there they set him up and said, Daniel, you're pretty smart. We're going to train you in the ways of the Babylonians and make you one of our servants. You can get high up with us, boy. And you know what they did? They set him up. And they said, now here's what we're going to do, Daniel. We got a portion of the king's meat that we want you to eat every day. And this is going to fatten you up. And this is going to do you right. The Bible said in verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. And the Bible said he requested of the eunuchs that he wouldn't defile himself. And And you know what? The eunuch said, Daniel, you're going to get me in trouble. You're supposed to be eating this meat. And you know what? This king ain't going to like it if you're not eating this meat. He said, hey, buddy, let me do this right here. He said, I want you to test us. And here's what we're going to do. He said, what we're going to do. He said, I want you to prove me. He said, I beseech thee 10 days. And I want you to give us pulse to eat and water to drink. And you know what that is? That's just old mushy vegetables. And water to drink. He said, I'm going on a vegetarian diet for 10 days. And he said, I'm not going to eat that king's meat. And I'm not going to drink that king's wine. He said, just give me something out of the garden. Be all right. And a little bit of water to go with it. For 10 days, he ate them old soggy vegetables. For 10 days, he ate them things. And he drank water. No wine, no milk, no nothing. He drank water. And after 10 days, they set old Daniel up against the rest of all them old boys that had sold out to the Babylonian army. And they were eating all the king's meat. And they were taking all the provision of the king. And by the time they got done, they looked at Daniel. And the Bible said his flesh was fairer than the other old boys. Let me tell you something. You want to know why? He didn't look like what he'd been through. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He was a boy that got, all of a sudden his nation got conquered. And he was brought into slavery of the Babylonian Empire. But you know what? He didn't look like what he'd been through. I want some people this morning that will praise God because they don't look like what they've been through. Daniel didn't allow his circumstances to make him look like what he'd been through. And hey, you know what else? He didn't look like what he'd been through. It wasn't just because of God's provision, but it was because of God's power. It was because of God's power. Because the Bible said in verse 2, there was a reason that Jacob told them boys, I want you to go on down to Egypt. I want you to go on down to Egypt, and I want you to get the corn. And here's why. He said, so that, and it's real easy, simple. He said, I want you to go down there because we want to live. If we don't get it, we're going to die. We're going to die. But aren't you glad this morning God has the power to sustain your life? God has the power to give you what it is you need today. Do you need strength to endure the next day? God will give you the strength. Do you need mercy on your soul? God will give you that today. Aren't you glad to them that believe, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God, He said. I'm glad today that we've got power because God is with us. And if we've got power, folks, can I tell you today, we won't look like what we've been through. You go over to Daniel chapter 3, and there were some old boys called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And old Nebuchadnezzar made this great idol. And he said, now boys, he said, when all these musical instruments begin to play, he said, everybody in this nation is going to bow down, turn towards the direction of this idol, and they're going to bow down and start worshiping this idol. And Daniel said, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they heard all that music starting up, they said, you know what? Everybody else can do it if they want to. We ain't going to bow. And word got back to Nebuchadnezzar, and said them boys didn't bow. Nebuchadnezzar got them boys arrested and brought them in here and said, now boys, let me tell you something. We know you didn't bow this time. But let me tell you something. If you'll do it the next time the music happens, all's going to be well with you. But said, let me tell you something. If you don't bow the next time that music happens, we're going to cast you into the burning, fiery furnace. And my boy said, O king, we be not careful to answer you this thing. Said, king, you can play all the music you want to play. You can have every instrument in this country going at the same time. We ain't going to bow down to that idol you got. And by the way, king, you can throw us into the fire if you want to, but our God is able to deliver us out of the burning fire. And said, God, even if He don't deliver us, we still ain't bowing down. Aren't you glad today there's still somebody? See, let me tell you something. There's power in serving God today. He has power to protect. Aren't you glad today? They threw them old boys in the fire. Old King got so mad he couldn't stand it. Heated up that furnace 7 times hotter than it had ever been heated before. Grabbed them old boys, got them muscle-bound guards and grabbed them boys and throw them in the fire. And the heat was so hot it killed the guards. And here they were, bound head, bound up and thrown over and rolling into the fire. And all of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar looks on the inside of there, and he said, hey, he said, didn't we throw 3 men in that thing? And they said, yes, king, we did. He said, but I see 4 in there. And he said, that 4th one looks like the Son of God. Let me tell you something, you're not going through anything this morning that God's not right there with you anyhow. You're not alone today because God has the power to protect your life. He didn't look like, when by the time they got, it's the best part of the whole story. By the time they got out of the fire, the only thing that burned up in the fire was the vines that had them bound. When they come out of the fire, the king got over and looked at him and said, I can't even tell you even been in the fire. You don't even smell like smoke. Why?
look like what they've been through.
They didn't come out of the fire that way. They got thrown in the fire. He said, preacher, but hey, let me tell you something. They got thrown in the fire too. They know what it's like to have a life in the fire. They were there firsthand. But when they come out of that fire, they didn't come out of it looking like it, smelling like what they'd been through. But they come out of there victorious because they knew God was on their side. Hey, not only was there old Daniel, but the Bible said there was an old boy in the book of Luke. And in Luke chapter 8, the Bible tells us this in verse number 43. The Bible says that a woman had an issue of blood 12 years, had spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him, meaning Jesus, touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, who touched me? And when all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue. That word virtue in the King James language means power. It says, for I perceive that power is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people and for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Don't you know today that that woman came through with an issue of blood, and according to the Levitical law, she had to live outside the town. She couldn't touch nobody. She couldn't hug anybody. She couldn't feel the embrace of anybody. She couldn't be around anybody. She had to carry something around her face like this right here, a veil over her face. And every time somebody got near her, she had to say, unclean, unclean, because she had this issue of blood. She had gone to the bottom, but by the time Jesus got done, he healed that issue of blood, and he said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. And when she left, she didn't look like what she had been through. Do you know God has the power to heal your body? And aren't you glad that when you get a healing, you don't look like what you've been through? Every Sunday, I love Brother Dallas comes in and he says, hey preacher, he says, how do I look? Well, I like that. I like that. Brother Dallas, I like that, brother. You keep on doing that. He comes in and he's got his coat on. He's got his tie on. And Brother Dallas just went through fighting cancer and God healed him of that cancer. And he comes walking in and he says, you know what, preacher? He says, I don't look like what I've been through. How do I look today, preacher? How many of you are still walking around looking like what you've been through? Hey, it comes a time, guys, we got to stop looking like what we've been through and start looking like Jesus. Hallelujah. He comes in and says, how'd I look? I said, you look fabulous. You look wonderful. Praise God, you look great. Hey, I'm glad today. You know what? Before I got saved, I used to have hair down about right here. And before I got saved, I used to hang a chain out of my ear down to about right here. And before I got saved, I used to wear some ungodly shirts. I had all kinds of ungodly messages on them. Before I got saved, you know what? I used to do things and go places. But you know what? After I got saved, but it didn't take me long to get down to the barber shop. It didn't take me long to get rid of the clothes. It didn't take me long to pull the chain out of the ear. It didn't take me long to do those things. And can I tell you right now? Hey, by the way, it's a little bit slimmer then too. But hey, you know what? I don't look like what I've been through. Let me tell you something. God simply has the power to do that. And not only did he have the power to heal, but over in John chapter 11, the Bible says there was a fellow by the name of Lazarus. Lazarus, Jesus loved him, and Lazarus died. And the Bible says they buried Lazarus. And Jesus came back in town about 4 days after they buried him. And his sisters at first wouldn't even come to him. And finally one of them did, chided him, said, Lord, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. You know, you had the ability to stop this and you didn't even come. And the other one was so mad at him, she wouldn't even come out to the end. And Jesus said in verse 41, said, take me to where you laid him. And they took him on down to where he laid him. And Jesus said, roll that stone away. And they said, oh, no, 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 no. You can't roll that stone away. So because, you know, he'd been there for 4 days. He's rotten now. My name stinketh. You can't take him out. That's going to be embarrassing to the family. That's going to be embarrassing to everybody. Poor old Lazarus. I'd have more respect for Lazarus than that. Lord, you can't let everybody see him in the shape he's in. Jesus said, roll that stone away.
And he rolled that stone away, and Jesus began to pray and said, God, I thank you that you hear me always. And he began to pray, and he said, hey, Lazarus, with a loud voice, he cried, said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out of that tomb, still bound up in the grave clothes. Jesus looked at him and said, loose him, let him go. You go on down to chapter 12 and verse number 2, and all of a sudden you find Lazarus sitting at the dinner table, having dinner with the family. Let me tell you something about Lazarus. He didn't look like what he'd been through. He didn't look like what he'd went through. By the time Jesus got done with him, they wasn't no more stinking. By the time Jesus got done with him, there wasn't no more grave clothes. By the time Jesus got done with him, there wasn't no more rigor mortis. By the time Jesus got done with him, he wasn't cold no more. By the time Jesus got done with him, he was sitting at the banquet table. What'd he go through? Death. I don't know of anything worse to go through than that, brother. He literally died. Preacher, you believe he died? Absolutely, I do. But you know what? He didn't look like what he'd went through. And it's because of God's power. And then there's God's providence. Verse number 6 of what we read in Genesis 42. And well, boys, you know, in 20-something years, they about tried their best to forget about old Joseph. In 20-something years, they remembered what they'd done to him. And maybe in 20-some years, Dad had already come to the conclusion Joseph was dead. And in 20-some years, Dad had already got to the point to where he didn't expect him to come back. And them old boys thought we got away with it and it's all done with and over. And the Bible said they had to go to Egypt to get food. And all of a sudden, God began to stir their conscience again. And they began to remember all them things they'd done to Joseph. And I wonder if going through their mind at that time was, I wonder if Joseph's in Egypt. I wonder if he'll find us. I wonder if we'll run into him. I wonder what he's doing these days. I wonder what he's like. We sold him to the slaves in the pit. Boy, I bet he's had a hard time. Boy, I don't know what he's going to be like. And all of a sudden, they show up down there, and lo and behold, they come before Joseph. And there's Joseph, who's now the governor of Egypt, second command unto Pharaoh. And everybody that had to buy corn had to come unto Joseph. But let me tell you something. Joseph didn't look like what he'd been through. Glory to God. He come out of a dysfunctional family, but he didn't look dysfunctional. He come out of a jealous bunch of brothers, but he didn't look jealous. He come out of all these things, but he wasn't angry. And you know what? He got sold into slavery, but he didn't look like a slave. He landed in Potiphar's house and got thrown into prison, but he didn't look like a prisoner. Glory to God. Let me tell you something. Joseph didn't look like what he'd been through. And my brothers looked at him and he looked so different they didn't even recognize who he was. Glory to God. I just found somebody this morning that looks so different than what they used to be when God got done with them. You can't even recognize who they are anymore. They didn't look like what they'd been through. Glory to God, church. Let's don't look like what we've been through. Hey, you want to know why Joseph didn't look like what he'd been through? Because the providence of God. The providence of God. You know what? I quoted this verse this morning, but we stop at this verse so many times. The Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And most time we stop there. Whenever we're going through trials and heartaches and problems and sorts like that, we say, God, I know all things will work together to the good. But what is the good? You ever think about that? What good is he talking about, Brother Jesse? You know what he says? He says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Hey, that's the good. God's taking you through some things so you can be conformed into the image of his Son. When he says all things work together for the good, by the time God gets done with you, you won't look like what you've been through. Because he's conforming you to the image of not your trial, he's conforming you to the image of his Son. And he said that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Those he called, those he justified. And those whom he justified, he glorified. He don't look like what he started out with. What shall we say then to these things? God, I don't want them. That's not what he said. He just said, God, if you're for us, who can be against us? And he said, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He's going to give me what I need, hallelujah, not to look like what I've been through. Glory to God. He's conforming me to the image of His Son. I'm not going to look at my trials anymore and be conformed to the image of my trials. I'm not going to look through those things anymore. Brother Howard, hang on, brother. Because there's going to come a time, brother, you're not going to look like you've had cancer anymore. The hair's growing back, brother. Glory to God. The weight's coming back on. Aren't you glad? And you're still in the seat. Hallelujah. You don't look like what you've been through anymore. Old Joseph, he didn't look like what he'd been through. And lastly and finally, not only because of God's provision, power, and providence, but because of God's purpose, Joseph didn't look like what he'd been through. God had a purpose. See, in verse number 6, the Bible said, He it was that sold to all the people of the land. Can you imagine them coming unto Joseph and Joseph looking like he had starved to death? And said, you're the man that's going to have to save us. You're the man we're going to have to count on to keep us holding on. And here Joseph would have been round down to nothing, slaves' clothes all over him, just drug out all over the place. You're the one's going to help me? Surely not. But by the time they got there, God had another purpose for him. Aren't you glad this morning God's got another purpose than for us looking like what we've been through? Hallelujah. 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 I'll praise God. Hallelujah. I don't look like what I've been through. My father-in-law for many years used to do tent revivals and go in different places and set up the big tent and put about 400 or 500 seats under there and get every how many you could in the community to come to your tent revival. And I remember used to preach some of them with him. And I remember a fella come by there, and he said, Preacher, he said, I want to help you out. I'll help you with your tent, and I'll help you with your music, and I'll help you with the preaching. If you need to, I'll help you with all these things. And I remember when the guy come by, he's dressed up, he had a pair of bibs on, bib overalls, and ain't nothing wrong with that. But he sat there, and he was unkempt, and hair wasn't combed. He smelled bad. You could tell he hadn't showered and took a bath in a good long time. And he was not in a very presentable shape. And I remember what my father-in-law told him. He said, son, he said, now let me tell you something. He said, if you're going to stand up before these people and start preaching blessing on them, he said, you need to go home and clean yourself up so you can come back and look like you're blessed. We sit around and say, Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. You ought to get him in with him. Who's going to fall for that? Who's going to believe it? Folks, if you look like what you're going through, who's going to believe it? Jesus can rescue you out of it. But I don't look like what I've been through. Glory to God. Because there's a purpose. If Joseph hadn't went through, Sister Nancy, if Joseph hadn't went through what he went through, Egypt would have died and all of Canaan and the nation of Israel would have died and we'd have never had a Savior. He didn't look like what he'd been through. Those guys came to Joseph and they were confident that Joseph could help him because Joseph looked like somebody that could help him. And folks, let me tell you something. I'm glad to know God can help me. I'm glad to know God can help me today. I'm glad to know God is there for me. And I'm glad to know that God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think. And hey, let me ask you a question today. And I'm not going to ask you if you've gone through trials and heartaches and tribulations. Jesus said, in this world, ye shall have tribulation. I don't have to ask you, are you going through trials today? I'd say most all of us would raise our hand and say, there's some sort of trial we're going through. Have you been through trials in the past? All of us would raise our hand and say, yes, I've been through trials in the past. I know what it's like to go through these things. But I want to go beyond that today. I'm not asking you if you've been through or if you're going through one right now. I want to ask you something personally and honestly. Don't you answer me this morning. You answer yourself this morning. Do you look like what you've been going through? Do you look like what you've been going through? Has the devil beat you down so far you don't have a song anymore? You don't have a testimony anymore? You don't have anything at all to give to God anymore? You've quit on God? You've said, everything in the world's come against me. I just give up. I throw my hands up. And I'm not, you're looking like what you've been through. And the world looks at that and says, God, if that's what serving Jesus is all about, I don't want none of it. I don't want any of it. You'll lose your influence. You'll lose your witness. You'll lose all those things if you go around looking like what you've been through. I'll end with this one right here. There was a man who was crucified, and he hung on a middle cross. And the Bible said his name was Jesus. When you go back in the book of Isaiah, the Bible says that the image and the visage and the countenance of Jesus was marred more than any other man. And when he hung on that cross, guess what? He looked like what he'd been through. But when they laid him in that tomb, and on that third day, he rose up out of that tomb, along came a woman by the name of Mary, and came unto him and found two angels standing there at that tomb. And they said, why in the world are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. He arose just like he said he is going to. And he said, go and tell the disciples. All of them left. Here's this one Mary sitting back. And the Bible says that Jesus came and kind of approached her. And she looked over at him, perceiving him to be the gardener. And said, if you just tell me where you've taken him, I'll take it. I'll do with it. I'll take care of the body. It won't be a bother, I promise you. I'll take care. And he said, Mary. One word. You know why I had to say that? He didn't look like what he'd been through. He didn't look like what he'd been through. By the time God the Father got done with him, he didn't look like what he'd been through. Can I just tell you, by the time God gets done with you, if you'll let him, you won't look like what you've been through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe somebody get that in their spirit this morning. By the time God gets done, well, you won't look like what you've been through anymore. World's drug you down. Everything in the world's come against you. Every devil in hell beating on your head. But I'll tell you right now, God will lift you up, glory, hallelujah, and exalt you above all your fellows, the Bible says. And by the time God gets done with you, you won't look like what you've been through anymore. Hey, I want to know something this morning. Do you look like what you've been through? Do you look like... And I said, don't you answer me, and I don't want you answering me. But if you had to answer and say, preacher, yes. To be honest, I've lost my testimony, I've lost my fire, I've lost my influence, I've lost my song, I've lost whatever it is. I've got to admit, preacher, I look like what I've been through. And preacher, today I'm tired of it. I'm going to cast that off today. I'm going to come to God, and He's going to change the way I look. I'm going to come to God, and I'm going to throw all this stuff off of me today. And you know what? When I get up from here, you won't recognize me anymore, because I won't look like what I've been through. Would you stand this morning?